You are listening to a message from First Baptist Hall. We hope this message challenges you and encourages you, and you can use this as a resource to grow closer to Jesus Christ. For more information about our church, check out fbchalton.org or follow us on social media at fbchalton.
Father, thank you for being the way maker. God, thank you for being the one who's made a way for rotten, sinful people, Lord, to have a relationship with you. God, thank you for sending your son Jesus here to this earth, God, so that we can, our sins can be forgiven, they can be covered by his blood, and God, we're so grateful for what you've offered us. God, meet with us here today. God, we pray that you would take your word and that you would pierce it into our heart. Father, that you would use the foolishness of preaching, God, to confound the wisest people in this room. Father, to say yes to Jesus. We pray today that you would save people in this room. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. If you've got your Bible, turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Let me say thank you to Joey and Blake. Last Sunday, I was in Meridian, Mississippi. A friend of mine, Doug Goodman, pastors a church just south of Meridian. And last year, we had scheduled a revival that I was going to preach. And his wife ended up with COVID and passed away right around the time that we were going to be there doing that revival. She was 43 years old, Kendra was. And so Doug called the end of last year and said, hey, can you come? And so it was just a great time. Andrea and Jude got to go with me, which is very rare. I preached Saturday night at a beast feast there, and then Sunday morning twice, and then Sunday evening we had a lot of people saved. But I'll tell you what's great about that, and I know that I've been out a lot. I had COVID one Sunday, and the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's, our family takes off, and then this, so three times already in about a month and a half. And I know, what's cool about it, though, is when Blake and Joey cover, I don't ever worry. They do a great job, both of those guys. And let me brag on them just a minute. I got to brag on them at the 9:30 service. These two guys, God's using them in an incredible way. I jokingly have said I was the best youth pastor First Baptist Hall ever had, and that is so far from the truth. I'm at the bottom of that list. We have always kind of had that 100, we'd bump up a little, 115, you know, on good Sundays. These two guys, each ministry, high school and middle school, both are taking 100 students to camp this year. So 200 students, that's incredible. And God's moving in our student ministry. Folks are getting saved over there a lot on Wednesday nights. God's moving, and these two guys are just doing a great job. And so when I get to put them in front of you, they take turns on preaching. One will preach the 9:30, another preach the 11, and they'll swap. They preach the same text, but I like getting both of those guys around both of the crowds preaching to, and I'm telling you, they just knock it out of the park every single time. And so it's good for me to go and be away, but it's also good to have good guys cover for me that do a great, great job. And so if you see Joey and Blake around campus either today or in the next week or so, tell them how much you appreciate them. You may not have a student in student ministry yet. Maybe your kids are younger. Maybe they're already through there. Just tell them, encourage them, tell them thank you for all that they're doing. Teresa, too, is doing an incredible, incredible job. Listen, we're walking through this series entitled I'll Do It Tomorrow. And I'm gonna put it out there. I'm gonna warn you, you better be back the next two Sundays. Next Sunday, we're talking on fasting. Does that get you fired up? It should, because the Sunday after that, we're talking about tithing. All right? And so we got some big stuff coming up. But don't skip just because that, because what we've done at the beginning of this year, we said, hey, God, we want to be disciplined in our walk with you. We don't want to put off the things in our life that that you're going to use to grow us into the men and women that you want us to be, not who we want to be, who you want us to be for your glory. And so these areas that we've talked about the first time we met about this, I'll do it tomorrow, we talked about Bible intake, reading our Bible. I challenged you at the end of that message to begin reading your Bible and even picking a verse every month that you would memorize and put into your memory bank and hiding God's word in our heart. Then the next Sunday, we talked about serving. How can we serve the body of Christ? It's not, God didn't just save us to sit in a pew. He saved us to serve the body. And I asked you, and I challenged you that sermon to text the word serve to 318-300-1981, and we were going to connect you with a ministry. And some of you have been driving golf carts around here. Some of you are in our welcome team. We've been putting you into service in the ministry here, and because we want as many people here at First Baptist Halton to be working and serving in the ministry here. And so then the next one, we talked about evangelism. We talked about worship on a Wednesday night. We talked about evangelism two Sundays ago, and I challenged you to start praying for people. You remember this? I said, right in the front of your Bible, folks that you know, they may be in your family, they may be friends of yours, very close in your circle, that you know they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're not judging them. You just know they don't claim to know Christ as their Savior. And I said, put them in the front of your Bible and start praying. We're going to pray that God will give us divine appointments, meetings that we can have with them so that we cannot beat them over the head with our Bible, but just share with them what Christ has done in our life. I was going to preach on fasting today. And at 2 a.m., God woke me up. And he didn't speak audibly, but he impressed me when my eyes opened at 2 a.m., God impressed me that I need to share with you out of John chapter 3 this morning. And I need to finish our talk on evangelism, because I feel like I left. I said, hey, go and pray for folks, but I haven't really shared with you how to share the gospel with them. And so this message this morning is going to be some of that. We're going to talk about practically how to share the gospel with somebody. But then when God woke me up this morning, I felt so impressed that I didn't begin this series correctly. I should not have started with reading our Bible and serving and evangelism. The thing that most people put off till tomorrow is surrendering their life to Jesus Christ. And you know what? If we're not careful, we'll check boxes of reading our Bible, praying, serving, even in the church, and yet you can do all of those things on the outside and not have Christ living on the inside of you. And so in John chapter 3 is a story of a guy who just did that. He was a box checker. This was a guy who, in his life, he was performing. In fact, salvation to him, activity equaled salvation. If he could do enough things, pray enough, read enough of the Bible, go to church enough, give enough, he equated that to salvation, because that was the system in which this guy lived. He was a religious guy. In fact, if he were a Southern Baptist today, let's just kind of talk. He's a Jewish Pharisee, but if he was a Southern Baptist, we'll put it down on our level this morning. If he was a good Baptist, he would be a bedroll Baptist. I mean, he was born in the church. He went to the nursery when he was little, and those sweet little ladies that rocked him in the nursery, they prayed over him and they sang Jesus Loves the Little Children. I mean, this guy would have heard it all. He would have grown up and gone to every single vacation Bible school. He could recite to you the pledge to the Bible, the pledge to the Christian flag. He can do all of that. He knows it. He can tell you the Bible stories because he's learned them. He's been in the children's ministry. He went to K-Motion. He went through the children's ministry. and then he served in the student ministry. He was a leader in the student ministry, and he graduated from high school. And this guy, he probably gone to Bible college. This guy did everything he could. He began serving in the church when he got married. He was a young married guy, and he had kids growing up in the church. And this guy became a deacon and taught life groups. This guy was a Southern Baptist to the core. He was a box checker. But the sad thing is this guy grew up in the church, and he didn't know Jesus. This guy did everything on the outside right, but he didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know what? A lot of times, we can do the exact same thing, can't we? We can check boxes. Hey, I'm a member there. Hey, I walked that aisle. I prayed that prayer. I got wet in that pool. I'm a member of that Sunday school class or life group. I serve in this ministry. I go to that life group class. I mean, we can check boxes in that on the outside, everything looks fine, but on the inside, the Spirit of God doesn't dwell inside of us. We're lost. We've equated salvation to activity or performance. Let me introduce you to this guy this morning. You've heard this story 100 times before, and so don't let the familiarity of this story distract you from what God wants to show you this morning. Look there in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And it's fascinating. He comes to Jesus at night. Some may say that he was scared that he would be found out, that his other Jewish friends or other Pharisee guys would ridicule him or shame him for coming to this rogue kind of teacher. But maybe it was that. Maybe it was because of shame. Maybe it was an urgency in Nicodemus's life. It didn't need to wait till tomorrow. Maybe he came to Jesus that night because God was moving in him and he had answers that his religion didn't give him. And he walked out of his house that evening and the darkness had already fallen and he realized that he needed to get to Jesus because he could not sleep another night in uncertainty. He couldn't put this off until tomorrow. And so he comes to Jesus tonight, and what he says to him, he says, "Hey, we know, us religious people know that you're a teacher come from God because you couldn't do these miracles or these signs," he says, "unless God be with you." He said, "We've watched you, you've healed people, you speak with authority. You couldn't do this stuff unless God be with you." Look at verse 3. Jesus answered him and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter or see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And so where Nicodemus's religion fell short, his box checking fell short, he would lay in bed night after night knowing there was something more. He needed the answers to something more, and so he sought the one who could give him answers. And Jesus, this was Jesus' answers: "Nick, unless you're born again, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven." So he looks at Jesus and he's like, "Dude, how can that happen? I'm full grown. I can't enter into my mother's womb a second time." And Jesus tells him, he says, "Nick, you can't be physically born again. You've already been born of the water once." You know, when Jesus said born of the water, he wasn't talking about what we just observed up here in the baptistry. He was talking about our physical birth. We're born of the water. All of us are born of the water. If you've got a birthday, raise your hand. Should be all of us. We're all born of the water, but then you have to be born of the Spirit of God, the Bible says. And so there has to be two birthdays. One's a physical and one's a spiritual birth. But then listen to what Jesus goes on to say in verse 6. He said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit." The Spirit moves where he wishes, is what Jesus said. In verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Now, what's crazy is because you and I, we get answers to questions. We check boxes. We figure it out. We diagram things, even physically in our physical life. We plan and we say, "Hey, we're going to do this tomorrow." We line it all out. And Jesus said, "Hey, listen, bro, the Spirit moves where He wants to." The Spirit draws and the Spirit saves. The Spirit moves. You're not in control of the Spirit. And then Nicodemus can't comprehend. He said, "How in the world does this happen? Because everything I've ever been taught is that God lives in this box of rules." And what Jesus did is He just took God out of this box. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and we testify what we've seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you did not believe, how will you believe it if I tell you heavenly things? You can't understand the physical stuff, Nick. How are you going to get the spiritual?" Look what he says in verse 13. "No one has ascended to heaven but he who has come down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who's in heaven." Jesus was like, right? It's like, this is me. I'm the only one who's ascended to heaven. I've also descended. I've come down from heaven. I am the Son of Man who is in heaven. And he said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Now listen, here it is. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I want to do two things today. The majority in this room, you have trusted Christ your Savior. I want to give you a way to share what you believe with somebody else. And I want to use a verse that everybody knows, and that's John 3:16. But for some of you in this room, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, and today is the day of salvation. Today's your second birthday. And what I want to do for you is I want to share with you the simple story of the gospel. And so here's the first thing I want you to see. In fact, if you got a pencil and paper or you type it in the notes of your phone, I want you to write this first thing, the good news. Now, you heard of the guy who went to the doctor and he's getting his tests done and he wasn't feeling quite right. And the doctor did all of the tests and did his blood work and said, "Hey, listen, you go home. Everything should be fine. You go home and we'll contact you and give you the results of the test." And a few days went by and the doctor called and he said, "Hey, listen, I've got some good news and bad news." And the guy, man, he got quiet on the phone. He said, "Good news and bad news?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Okay. What's the good news?" He said, "No, don't tell me the good news. Give me the bad news first. I want the bad news first." He said, No, hang on, no. I've done this before. Tell me give me the good news. "Doc, what's the good news?" He said, "Well, the good news is you're gonna die in 2 days." And the guy said, "Die in 2 days? That's the good news?" He said, "What in the world was the bad news?" He said, "I was supposed to call you yesterday." That's bad news. So here's the good news. Listen to what it says in John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." That, my friend, is good news. God so loved the world. This is extravagant love. This is love that He poured out on the world. Now watch this. Not only is this love extravagant, it's unconditional love. That this love goes beyond any mistake anyone has ever made in their life. God looks down on His creation and He loves His creation so much that He gave. Now, a gift is always given because of love. And the significance of that gift always discloses the amount of love. And so John records to us that Jesus told Nicodemus, "Nick, check this out. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Now the significance of that gift communicates the value of God's love, right? He gave his only son. He didn't have a whole bunch of sons that he looked at and said, I'm going to give him my best son. He gave him his only son. And Jesus, listen, he wasn't born of Joseph. He was God's son. Mary, as a virgin, gave birth to Jesus, and he came forth as God's only son. And so when Jesus came to this world, he came to this world as a gift to all of this world, to all of God's creation. That gift's extravagant. Watch this. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. I can go to any individual that's in any prison across this country, and I can stand in front of their jail cell, and I can peer through the bars that they live behind, and I can tell them the same message that I tell you this morning. It doesn't matter what you've done. Are we sure that we really comprehend that and we believe that? It doesn't matter what you've done. I can stand there in front of an individual that has done horrible things to other people. And church, let me tell you this. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. It doesn't matter what you've done. He loves you as much as he loves the person sitting beside you, across the room for you. He loves you as much as he loves anybody who's ever lived upon this earth, in the past, in the present, and into the future. He loves Hitler as much as he loves you. He loves the worst of all sinners that you and I could imagine. He loves those people just as much as he loves you who've never done those things. He loves the addict. He loves the adulterer. He loves the person who has filled their life with sin, that people look at their life and they point them and they're labeled, they're tattooed because of their sin. That guy's the murderer. That lady's the adulterer. That individual's the alcoholic. And we carry around with these tattoos of our life and we're defined by our sin. And guess what? Jesus gives us the good news. Are you ready? God so loved the world that he gave. God loved us so much. The extravagance of his love was so great that he offered the gift that only God could give. Now that's great. That's good news. Would you agree with me? That's good news. Now watch this. Jesus talking to Nicodemus, who has checked boxes his whole life, who has bought into religion his whole life. Jesus looks at Nicodemus and said, hey buddy, that's the good news, but here's the bad news. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Now that sounds like good news too, right? That whoever believes in him should not perish. But in reality, that statement means that there will be many who won't believe in him and they will perish. That if you and I really believe that, that the majority of this world will die and spend eternity separated from God. I mean, do we really believe that? That when Jesus said, hey, there's two roads, there's two destinations, there's two gates. One road's broad and many will go down that road. One road's narrow and few are going to find that road. This road, the broad road, leads to destruction. This narrow road, this narrow gate leads to life and very few of them will find that. Do we really believe that the majority of God's creation will spend eternity in hell? Do we? The majority of your neighbors, majority of the population of Houghton, do we really believe that the majority of the population of Louisiana, of Houghton, Louisiana, do we really believe they're heading down the broad road and that they're mingling with religion and they're taking a little bit of this and, hey, I believe in God and I celebrate Christmas and I celebrate Easter and we think, hey, if you do that, you'll go to heaven. But reality is they're on the broad road. They've never repented of their sins. You said that's the bad news, right? That the majority of the people that live around us will never get on that narrow road that leads to life. And most of us believe in some universal theology that, you know, we're decent people and God's a good God and he's gracious and he pours his love out on us. And God, a gracious God, would never allow people to die and go to hell. But Jesus talked more about hell than he did anything else. And yet we live in 2022 and we're sophisticated and we don't talk about hell and we don't scare people into heaven. But listen, this is a reality. And though you believe and you won't perish, but there'll be those who don't believe, church. I know this is difficult to hear, but I've been in homes, I've been in hospitals, I've stood beside beds of countless people who've drawn their very last breath here on this earth. And I'm gonna tell you, there's no sweeter time. I was there when my mama took her last breath. I didn't get to be there with my daddy when he stepped into heaven, but when my mama stepped into heaven in that ICU room at Willis Knighton North, on a Sunday morning, they called us and I came and I stood there and I held her hand for hours until she drew her very last breath here on this earth. And I didn't get to see it, but angels filled that room. And the Bible says that those who are in Christ, angels come and carry them into the presence of Jesus, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I've stood around countless beds. My mama didn't suffer and struggle to draw her last breath, but I have been around beds of individuals who love Jesus, but they struggled. They struggled in those last breaths. They struggled in that last bit of life and leaving here and heading home. And when they take their last breath, their body just sits in calm and it looks as though they're sleeping. And several people around those beds, countless times they'll say, finally they're at peace. And you know what? They are. Because to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. But I'll tell you what, I have stood around beds of individuals who never claimed the name of Jesus, who never trusted him as Savior. And they agonized for their last breath, and they writhed in pain and in hospice situations, and they drew their last breath, and the same thing is said around their bed. Finally they're at rest. Can I tell you what, church? They're not. It's not me. I'm not being harsh. I'm not being the judgmental kind of preacher type. I'm just telling you, there will be those who believe and they will not perish, and there'll be those who don't believe, and guess what? They will perish. That's the bad news. And we think, well, how long will that last? A million years? No, a million years, and they're not halfway through. Because hell is for eternity. And I know hell, we don't talk about it a lot. Hell is not an exciting thing. But I want you to know something. There is a heaven that is sweet and that you and I should gain. And there is a hell that is horrible that you and I should not. And you and I have to believe that. Because if we don't, we'll never tell a person about Jesus. Jesus believed it. He said, Nick, I got good news for you. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But the bad news is that those who don't believe in me will perish for all of eternity. But watch this. Here's the greatest news of all. We got good news, we got bad news, but we have the best news in this verse. And they shall have eternal life. And when this life's over, and guess what? It's all going to be over for all of us one day. That we're going to step across the last day of our life. That we're going to breathe our last breath. Our heart's going to pound in our chest for the very last time. And the Bible says for those who are in Christ, the greatest news, the best news, is that we will have eternal life. Do you know what? You don't deserve that. I don't either. But you and I can't have eternal life checking boxes. The only way to eternal life is believing in the one who gave us the gift and offers us that gift of eternal life. Here's a question I got for us, church. Has there been a moment that you've believed? And when I say believe, I'm not talking about knowing and knowledge. Because I believe there's a lot of people in here, you can answer a lot of questions about Jesus because you have him here. But Jesus said, those who believe shall not perish. Those who have faith, that's the word faith, who place faith and trust for your salvation in the only one who can provide salvation for you. I got a question for you. Has there been a moment that you went from unbelief to believe? Can I tell you what that looked like in my life? When I was going this way, doing what I wanted to do in unbelief, and when I believed and placed faith in Jesus Christ, you know what? He changed my direction of my life. He changed everything. To be absent from the, or to be in Christ, we're new creatures, the Bible says. Old things have passed away. That new, that old plan, that old direction has been changed to a new plan and a new direction, a new me. God has changed me. Has there been a moment in your life that he's changed you? Listen, I want us to do this. I want us to bow our heads today, this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Don't get ready to go. We have communion. We got a lot of things going on. I'm trying to wrap this thing up, but I think this invitation maybe is two parts. I think there's folks in this room that 2 weeks ago you got challenged to begin praying for some people. You put their names in the front of your Bible and you started praying, asking God for a divine moment with them. This is what I'm wondering. I wonder today if we would pray for them and maybe bring their names to the altar and just and begin praying, continue praying that God would give you a moment, an appointment to spend with them, that you could share with them what you just heard today, that there's good news. There's good news. Jesus came into this world and he died for your sins, and there's bad news that if you deny him and reject him, that you'll spend eternity separated from him, but there's great news if you receive him, that you'll spend all of eternity with him. You won't have only life eternal, but life abundant here in this world. He'll change you, take you from head in the direction you're going, and he'll place you on a new road, a new path, a new destination, and he'll make you a new man and a new woman. So you may have some people that you're praying for that you need to share that message with this morning. So I want to, in just a few moments, I'm going to pray. We'll stand together and we'll come here to the altar. I want you to start praying for those people that God's put on your heart. You know, the second part of this invitation is for those in this room, maybe you've spent your whole life checking boxes. You say, I grew up in this church. I'm a deacon here. I serve here. I teach here. I do whatever. Listen, none of that will get you to heaven. Nicodemus could say all of those things, and yet he was missing the most important thing, a relationship with Jesus. Here's the question. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Has there been a moment that you surrendered everything? You went all in your walk with him, relationship with him, and said, God, I can't save myself. I believe in Jesus. And you turned and you trusted and you surrendered your life to him. So if you haven't done that, listen, I would beg you, I would, if it wouldn't embarrass you, if I knew you, I would come, I would get on my hands and knees, and I would beg you today to give your life to Jesus Christ. I would beg you today to get it settled. You know, Nicodemus couldn't sleep any longer until he talked to Jesus. Listen, God's been dealing with you. You may have had sleepless nights. You may have sat through invitations and God was drawing you and you said no, 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 and you walked away when God was convicting you. Listen, today's the day to get it settled. Don't step into eternity with your church membership saying, God, this is where I belong. I was a member at First Baptist Houghton. Let today be the day that you say yes to Jesus. So in just a few moments, I'm going to pray, and our pastors are going to be here across the front, and I'll be here. If you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, I beg you to come today. Satan's already working in somebody's heart and mind right now. You're thinking, what will people think? I've already walked that aisle before. What will people think? I taught life group just a moment ago. What will people think? Listen to me closely. I would not go to hell for anybody in this room and what they thought. Period. I would make sure that I knew. In just a few moments, I'm going to pray. Folks are going to be coming to this altar to pray for their lost friends. You may be some of those that they're praying for. You come to one of us. Don't come to the altar. Come to one of us. Maybe you want to join this church or be baptized, whatever it is. You come to one of us if you need to talk to a pastor today. Father, we give you this time. Move in this place. We love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for Jesus, God, that we don't have to perform. Thank you, Father, that we can trade religion in for a relationship this morning. God, I pray that you would move in this room in a powerful way. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand together this morning.
Thanks for listening. If you want more information about FBC Houghton, check us out on our website at fbchoughton.org or follow us on social media at FBC Houghton.